The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All brought to you by BetMGM's Gil Alexander, struggling. It's a great Joe Namath set. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. Kelly's feeling better. You good?
I'm feeling better. I still got this nagging cough that's hanging around, but I know you're hurting, so I hate to say this, but I have, over the past few days, it's been like exponentially better each day.
I feel great.
What's been weird, man. Yeah. I mean, I had COVID. I was out last week, but even with COVID, I didn't feel that bad. It was just all chest stuff.
So we've done this show for 6 years. You know what I've missed shows for? COVID, but I didn't miss shows. I did them from the apartment.
Yeah, you did. And San Francisco.
Yeah, and San Francisco during the pandemic. Death of father, death of friends, parents. I did miss for those. And then even when I got my Achilles popped, I did shows with a freshly ruptured Achilles tendon, but didn't do shows when I got the pulmonary embolism. So this is the first time besides any of that. And this was just 2 days of not having a voice. Here's the thing about not having a voice. Non-starter. Can't do it.
Yeah.
It's the one thing, right? It's the kryptonite. So hopefully it comes back. We had tweets, everybody. I'm beating the book. Always appreciate the feedback. Murphy, 12800. Gil, did Dr. Bob just say that the former defensive coach from Cal greatly improved the USC defense? Really? I don't know. I was too busy coughing up a lung. Did he say that? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Sorry.
Is that bad? We don't
Sorry.
Know that.
That's we apologize. Bad. We don't know that. Cowboys underscore Cubs one. Primetime. Good to hear the raspy, dulcet tones of Gil back on the Kelly Bidlin love zone.
Yeah, I'll have to bust out the love zone music.
Better news. The offseason has already started for the Commode football team in the DMV, so the incomparable Terry McLaurin's biggest fan can rest his pipes early again. Thank you.
Can I do a couple of these other ones upcoming?
Please.
I got a bone to pick with some of our fans, our listeners.
You don't want me to read them, and then you just blast them? You don't want to do it?
No. Go ahead. Go ahead and read them.
Oh, you want to read them?
No, go ahead.
Johnny Ringo, Gil playing hurt, Kelly carrying him across the finish line. What a Friday.
Oh, I didn't even see that one.
Xavier 82.
Appreciate that one.
I was going to say, don't blast him. Xavier 82, get well soon. Thank you for powering through. You're a class act, good sir, rare in sports betting arena. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Jason DeHart, we are down to 88 entries in DraftKings $1.2 million Survivor. My buddy and I have separate entries alive. We've decided on a 65-35 split if one of us gets knocked out. He's taking the Jags. I have Jacksonville and Seattle. Should I take Seattle? So I will know how many are left to hedge. Oh, I'm not giving out Survivor advice for these guys who are on the doorstep.
Man, that is...
But I understand your thinking. I want to know what's in front of you. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I think...
I don't trust Seattle. I don't.
I don't trust them either, but... Gil, I mean, for everything we've talked about Survivor all year, I mean, isn't that the move to make? I think it probably is.
The Circus Survivor people, those three got to take Jacksonville and just split. What are we doing? Stop living through this week to week. Just all take Jacksonville and all split, and that'll be fun for you guys.
Shout out quick, too, to Anthony. I don't want to give out your last name, Anthony, if you are listening out there. But good luck this week. I know he's in the DraftKings Survivor Contest. He was emailing me about back and forth. He's going to be in town, actually, next week here. We might get him on the show, see if we can twist his arm. But I was emailing back and forth a little bit with him. So good luck, Anthony. He was actually one of the – I think he was the only person in the contest that was involved in the Bills-Bengals game on Monday night. So there was, you know, some – wackiness out of that of how are they going to move on with Survivor.
Jason Weingarten, the reason I don't trust Seattle also, if you heard Jason Weingarten talk about it, he's very close to the Rams organization. They want to beat Seattle so badly with Bobby Wagner, for Bobby Wagner, it's not even funny, he said. So just keep that
in mind. Well,
that's
one of the moves of the season, right, where you're like, why did Bobby Wagner do this? Yeah, why? Like, Rams? Oh, man.
Trevor Warwick, I was so ready for you to yell splitting bets during the Kelly Bidlin read.
Yeah, see, Trevor, man, I had it in mind, dude. Just DM me next time or something. I was ready to go with it. But now Gil's, he's prepared. That's next segment. I was going to set him up for him and let him just hang there.
The worst
betting. It was going to be funny.
The worst betting split scream ever.
Yeah.
Bruce Dobigan, first your voice, now Paul Carr disappeared. He went 3-0 last weekend. Well, there's no Premier League this weekend.
Yeah, there's nothing. Sorry, we'll have him back next week.
Let's see here. Michael Burns. Gil comes off the two-day PUP list at 50%. Maybe the announcers are calling him a true gamer. And on with the tweets. We appreciate it very much. Kelly, you want to do this? Our segment here?
Yeah, we will. I got one more.
Oh, please. I'm sorry.
So Jason H11. See, I already made this joke to you off the air, where he goes, want to make Gil lose his voice again? Tell him Joe Gibbs, the most overrated coach in NFL history. I already made that joke an hour ago, Jason. I told him to Gil off air. I'm like, I'm just going to get you heated one of these segments and tell you that Washington was the most overrated team in the early 90s.
That's right. You know, Gil, I feel the 1991 Skins are highly overrated. I'll just lose my mind.
And then, yes, apparently Anthony Brown is going to get the start. And that was that big move we saw this morning, courtesy of our friend Adam Chernoff, I think, who gave out that play. So
that's what we're getting. So, yeah.
Everybody went and bet it, and we are sitting at a flat 10 on that Cincinnati Bengals-Baltimore Ravens game right now. You ready for it, Gil?
I'm ready.
It's about that time.
Let's do it.
It's teaser time.
Good work, Isaiah.
I could have done that.
Yeah, you could have. You could have.
It's teaser time.
All right, teaser time. There's a lot of teaser options this week. I don't know how you feel about this. We'll go over our bets next segment for what we have. I don't know how you approach this week, Gil, but it is – I have plays, but they're just they are much smaller unit plays for me.
Exactly what I was going to say. So all of my pre-flop are half the unit at most, and I really do feel it's an end game. But there could be some interesting teasers. Could be.
Yes, one. So I'll just read off some options out there because I think there's some people that will be attracted to some of these this week. And I don't think there's necessarily bad plays. Jags, I put it 6.5, hosting the Titans. Now, obviously, that's under the 7, but, you know, there's a lot of options this week. You might be looking for a dance partner to mix and match with. Bills laying 7 against the home against the Patriots. Vikings laying 7.5 home against the Bears. I know this might shock you, Gil, but I love that one. Bengals laying 7 versus the Ravens. Texans catching 2.5 or the Colts. Jets +2 at Dolphins. Browns +2.5 at the Steelers. Chargers +2.5 at the Broncos. Cowboys laying 7 at the Commanders. I believe you and I are kind of opposite on this game, but the Cowboys is one I would consider. The Bengals Bengals now out of that range. So scratch that one off the list mentally. This is where Ken Sporch out there, I need my telestrator so I can literally scratch it off the list while we're on the air. The Bengals one, laying 7. You got to scratch that one off.
Out of teaser range.
Yeah, out of teaser range. The I think the Vikings is a decent leg this week, I think.
So can I just say what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Because week 18 calls for, you know, squirrely week calls for squirrely teasers. So I don't want the math people to start screaming what I'm about to do. Because this is just – because I've been, you know, we try to do the Wong teasers. This whatever the opposite of Stanford Wong teasers are, that's what I'm about to do. Titans teased up, Commodores teased up. That's what I'm doing. Give me 12.5, give me 13.
I don't think that's a bad way to look at things this week at all.
They will also mirror bets that I have coming up as well. But to me – again, this is one of those weeks where you could know 5 minutes into a game, you could know a quarter and a half into the game, not in terms of the Jags, Titans, because those teams are incentivized, but in all these other games, like even the Texans and Colts, right? Like, I'm of the belief that the Texans are going to do everything they can to lose that football game. But would you be that shocked if they won?
No.
I wouldn't be.
No, I mean, it's like...
I'd be like, well, you blew the first pick, but you do get the, you know, you got the second, okay.
I do think during practice, during this week, you can get a bit of an idea of how teams are going to handle this last week. I think that the Bears are pretty clearly waving the white flag to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not like the Texans have done anything roster-wise, right, where you would say this team is for... There's no way they're going to go out there and give any effort whatsoever.
Frank Schwab from Yahoo was on the Megapod yesterday.
Oh.
He beating the book Megapod, and he brought up a great point, which is in 2014, if you don't think NFL teams tank, he brought up 2014 in the last week of the season, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who were beating who are they beating? The Saints that day, 20-7. And the Buccaneers needed to lose to get the first pick in the draft.
Had to go get a great quarterback.
And you know what they did? They made sure they lost that football game. And yes, as Kelly is alluding to, the following year with the number one pick, who did they take? But the great Jameis Winston in the 2015 draft. By the way, if you looked at the 2015 draft, it is a horrific draft.
Oh, horrible. It's god-awful.
I think the best player is Stephon Diggs in the fifth round. Darren Waller in the sixth, and maybe Trent Brown in the seventh. Like, it's a terrible draft.
I knew it watching it, was it 2 years ago at this point? Like, 2 years ago almost to the day, right? Well, I will never forget being in the D.
Yeah.
At the bar, watching the games, and rooting for this 30-30 season for Jameis Winston so hard, knowing I was watching history. This is going to be one of the greatest things I'd ever seen in sports. And people complaining about, like, quarterbacks with high interceptions this year. Yeah. It's... Dude, we're talking half of what he threw that year.
Kelly is not talking about a Canseco 30-30. This is a bad 30-30.
Bad 30-30.
Let me just finish the Frank Schwab story. So the reason that that's instructive is not just because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tanked that game, but you know who their head coach was? Kelly Bidlin.
Who, Bruce Arians?
Lovey Smith.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Lovey Smith, very familiar with the old Tanko.
That's a great point.
Just throw that out there. You just have to consider all these things this week. It's what makes it so squirrely.
But at the same time, like you said, I wouldn't be surprised in that one.
Wouldn't be surprised. It's tough. What's your favorite teaser, did you say?
I'll say Vikings-Cowboys.
I could have called that. I knew you were doing the Vikings. Coming back.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check out the current betting splits data.
Betting splits.
Well done, Gil. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com.
You know, the people who bet the under and already got paid out on this bet of my voice giving out, the over people are a little upset right now because they're like, what's he doing? He's still working.
Yeah. It's like that. It's just like that bet that cashes 5 minutes into the game, you know, and they're like, what do I do for the rest of the game? It's like you bet a first quarter in the NBA, and you're like, well, it hit. What, am I supposed to watch the rest of this game? Jeez.
So I like what you said earlier, which is when it comes to Week 18 bets, and this is exactly what I meant to say today, too, I'll tell you that my unit size is way reduced.
Yes.
Way reduced on the pre-flop. This is so much better of an in-game week because, honestly, we can all speculate what these teams are going to do, but we all don't know in the end until it actually happens. But here's the beauty of the in-game. Is that you as the bettor will be able to recognize it, chances are, better than someone at the sportsbook can alter the algorithm. Because remember, the in-game algorithm is derivative from the pre-flop. And so that's going to be your moment in some of these games. But I did now.
I do agree with that. Completely yeah. Agree with that. If we're all, even if they're manually doing it, Gil,
right?
If you see it, they're going to be monitoring. I mean, if it's in the Sunday early window, you got, what, 8 games going on, wherever it is. That person's keeping track of all that stuff. You might see it before they do.
Yep.
So I'm with you. I do think that's a good way to approach this week.
And again, for the pre-flop, because now, we do the Megapod yesterday, so, you know, we are giving our 3 best bets pre-flop, and I have made these bets. These bets are in the account, as they always are, just at a reduced number this week. I did take the Titans plus the 6 yesterday, plus 6.5 this morning. I get it. It's Josh Dobbs. But Derrick Henry's still playing, and I just think Mike Vrabel is going to figure out a way to keep this close. This is a total in Vrabel we trust bet, and I'll take those points, and did. And I'll take the Titans in that one.
I'm writing out a future in that game. I have the Titans not to make the playoffs. That is still live. So I guess I'm just going to be playing that. I don't know what you think about this, Gil, and I know you don't play a lot of prop bets, but I think if anybody that's considering that at that Titans side, I'm not going to say go yards or anything like that, but look for Derrick Henry rush attempts. Yeah. I just think with Dobbs back there, if we're really talking about the Titans winning that game, it's probably a scenario where Derrick Henry has a big game.
And we should point this out. We try to point out every scenario this week. I think we've done a good job from guessing lines on in. But keep in mind, there is still a scenario where the Titans and the Jaguars both make the playoffs. Titans beat the Jaguars, Bills beat the Patriots, Jets beat the Dolphins, Browns beat the Steelers. Not outlandish. If that happens, you will have 2-8-9 teams in the AFC playoffs. And keep in mind, the Buccaneers could lose to the Falcons and get into the playoffs at 8-9 as well. So you could have three sub-500 teams in the playoffs.
Ugh, gross. 21.5 is the rush attempts number on Derrick Henry, by the way. I do think that
too
is
low.
I think it's an absolute correlated play right there.
Yeah. I took the Indianapolis Colts. I did go with the Lovie Smith knows how to take it thing. So I went with the Colts again, smaller amounts. I took the Rams plus the points. I just don't trust the Seahawks in this game, and I think for Bobby Wagner, they will make a statement. I think the Rams want to win this game. I'll take the points. And then I took the Commodes, and the thinking of the Commodores here is that by second quarter, the Cowboys will look at the scoreboard and will see that the Eagles are going to be way ahead of the Giants, and they're going to say, what are we doing? We got nothing to play for here. Let's pull everybody. And so it's basically I'm taking points in every one of them except for the play against the Texans, hoping that they are going to go for that number one pick.
Yeah, I don't even know what it is. I was going to try to look it up quick, but I'm interested. I wonder what that Cowboys first half line is. It's got to be close to what the game line is, right? I mean, it's probably six or something like that.
It's a great call. I'm going to look at it right now.
As far as what I've got heading into the weekend, just two for me right now. I did a Chiefs-Packers just money line parlay. I do like that. I think the Chiefs are going to absolutely roll the Raiders tomorrow. And then, the Lions could be rolling into that Sunday night game with nothing to play for. I do give the Packers the edge anyways in that game. So I did do a Chiefs-Packers just money line parlay. And then it just beat it. We were on the air, so was able to beat the book to the move on the Vikings number, laid 5.5 with them. Before that one really took off, and that is sitting 7.5-8 now on the road against the Bears. I do think that's one where Chicago's they're waving the white flag and hoping the Texans mess around and pick up a win, and they land the number one spot.
I'm asking this for the crew downstairs. When was the last time you did not play the Vikings?
Last week.
Prior to that, when was the last time that you did not play the Vikings?
I don't think I played them last 2 weeks, actually, but there was a series where I think I went 7 weeks in a row or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, the whole strategy with the pre-flop is, just for me, is to avoid all the games with the big lines, generally. Because, again, the Eagles 14.5, the Chiefs with 9 against the Raiders, I just don't want to mess with those. And I don't want to play amateur psychologist with the Buffalo Bills. I know the DeMar Hamlin news is so great that now they feel okay to play, the relief to play. And by the way, DeMar Hamlin's father, Mario Hamlin, had a lot to do with that, talking to the team. His mom had a lot to do with that, talking to T. Higgins. So I think everybody is lighter and ready to play, but it didn't make me want to bet any of it.
I mean, I'd kind of say that. Well, especially where the number's at now, I'd say that same thing about the Bengals. I don't really have any interest in messing around with that game either.
Yeah.
I agree with you, though. I think there's some of these spots where you can – I just don't overthink it. I think you could easily talk yourself into a great bet this weekend that ends up backfiring somehow – and you've ended up investing too much. And that's where I think what we said at the beginning, I want to bring it back to where these are same bet sizes that I usually have about week one, where I enter into the season lightly, and at the end of the season, I exit lightly too.
Real quick, because we mentioned these earlier in the week, and I'm to the extent that you don't remember the playoff clinching scenarios beyond what the NFL announced yesterday, talking about just what were the scenarios anyway before what happened Monday night. Tennessee, win it in. Same for Jacksonville. Both teams control their own destiny there. But again, we just gave you the scenario where both could still make the postseason. Patriots win, or Miami, Tennessee, and Pittsburgh lost. They're in. Miami wins, but they need New England to lose. And then Pittsburgh, a win, and a Miami and New England loss. Those three things happened, and the Steelers are in. Do you have any Mike Tomlin stats?
I've heard places, Gil, that he's never finished a season under 500.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. So, yeah, chance for that to happen tonight. I do have a NBA bet
please
tonight. Or a chance for that to happen this week, I should say, with the Steelers. I did play a Jonas Valanciunas over his points and rebounds prop tonight. The Nets at the New Orleans Pelicans tonight at 7:30 Eastern time. Played over 26.5 points and rebounds. You should be able to still find that out there. 26.5 or 27.5, I think it's still fair. Look, you're talking about a team now with Zion out of the lineup. No Zion, no Brandon Ingram. Valanciunas is going to be leaned on to score a little bit more. If you watched the Nets-Bulls game on Wednesday night, you saw the Bulls take advantage big time of the Nets down low. They have Nicholas Claxton. He's been great this year, one of the best shot blockers in the league, but a thinner body guy. They were able to take advantage of that with Vucevic down low in that game, kept going to him over and over again. He was winning that matchup often against Claxton, was winning that matchup whenever the Nets had any backups in whatsoever. I would expect the Pelicans are going to see that tape from Wednesday night and go think the same thing. They can go right to Valanciunas, very similar players, can go right to Valanciunas down low and keep feeding him as long as he's having success down there against Claxton, whatever other bigs that the Nets are going to throw out onto the floor. You got to keep in mind the Nets are really kind of rolling through these different lineups right now where they have Claxton in at times at center, and sometimes they go real small where Ben Simmons is the biggest player they have on the court. So Valanciunas, one of the true centers in the NBA, where there's only about 7, 8, 9 of those guys in the NBA, I would look to take advantage of some player props with him tonight. If you don't want to do the rebounds, because Valanciunas does step outside to shoot some threes, I think you're fine going over on just his point prop too. I think I saw that set at 15.5 today, but I did play the points and rebounds combined.
Nice. And again, if you want some tennis picks, because of the time zone difference between here and Adelaide over there in Australia, I'll give them away on Twitter. Anybody who wants them, just hit me up and I'll give them to you. We had a +205 winner last night, Rebecca Masarova. It's been a tough week, though. We're down, I think, like a unit and 7 for the week as we just sort of glide in to the beginning of the tennis season. Australian Open pod next week. Can't wait for that. Looking forward to it. Coming back, Matt Brown on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber for only $79 and get access to everything we do from now to the big dance. Sign up today. You also receive $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear in our online store. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, betting splits, and betting reports. This is a limited time offer, so sign up now and get VSiN Pro access through the end of March Madness at VSiN.com/subscribe.
Slow on the draw, man.
Yeah, I'm failing back here on that.
We get tweets. They're beating the book. Always appreciate the feedback. Spiderweb, hope to get your voice back soon. Gilly, just listening to you is making me clear my throat continuously. Let me clear my throat.
I just thought of the same thing. I don't know why.
Over the levee. NASCAR betting is similar to golf. Very rare I have less than 3 outrights on a race, but I do see many people calculate their wins like you said. Long story short, I'm ready for NASCAR season. Jason Stark, not that Jason Stark, but another one. Hey, Gil, good golf betting point. What I do is 4 futures each week at 0.25 units, so my hits are the odds divided by 4 each tournament. Yeah, if you do it that way, for sure. Again, I would argue there's a Kelly Criterion point in there, but that's for another day. Phil Weiss, a sick Gil's better than no Gil. Thank you. That's very kind of you. You know what is better as a sick person? Rather than a no person also, or a healthy person better than a sick person. I don't know what I'm saying. Matt Brown, ladies and gentlemen, from A Final Countdown. How you doing, Mateo?
I am doing very well. Apparently better than you. Apparently better than you.
We have reached the lozenge phase of the show.
Yes. Listen, here's the thing. You're looking, you're like, hey, 28 minutes to go. I'm out of here. I'm getting home. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to get under a blanket. I'm going to drink me some tea. I know what's going on. I know your weekend, buddy. I know your weekend.
I feel great. It's just this thing won't work. I don't know. Eddie, The occupational hazard. Matt Brown, ladies and gentlemen, co-host of the Final Countdown with Stormy Bonnetoni each and every Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, right here on the network. I heard Stormy had a little voice issue too, right?
Yeah, man. All that sideline reporting, all those bowl games, you got to scream over those crowds stuff. She was on a whirlwind, three different bowl games in a week. So, yeah, she's dealing with some stuff as well. You guys, y'all should trade notes, see if anybody, you know, has a better idea how to get better.
Do you have any golf bets that we're tracking this week? Did you bet anything?
I got Tom Kim. So, I mean, I got Tom Kim. So he's good. So we're doing good there. Of course I had Sam Burns this week. So, you know, he's not doing as great.
Kelly, Sam Burns is Matt's Vikings.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think the Vikings are Matt's Vikings yes, too, but yeah,
that's true. All right.
Yeah, and took a little piece of Will Zalatoris more because I thought that it was a super big discount on him this week because of the injury concerns and stuff, and it was more of a numbers play there because this guy was top three in every single version of every model that I ran this week, but I was getting 33-1 on him, 31-1 on him and stuff, so it was we were getting a better number because of the unknown, and so sometimes you just got to take a chance on that.
You too, Kelly. You too should have a golf podcast or something.
I think it's a great
idea.
Just
going to throw that out
there. I think it's a great idea. I don't know about you, Matt, but I feel like I'm lined up perfect for another second place finish on it.
as long as it's to Tom Kim, I'm fine with that.
No, we're going to get robbed. You know it. We're getting robbed.
You're going to get what? Oh, robbed. Oh, you said something else. Okay. It's week 18.
Yes.
Do you approach this as Kelly and I were talking about, which is, if I have pre-flop, they're very few, and if I do, it's for a lesser unit size.
So I definitely very much fewer bets than I would have on a typical week. There's no doubt about that. Like fewer bets for sure. I think the one I have in is fairly normal sized or whatever, just because I thought that Cowboys number was pretty wacky. I mean, I also bet a look ahead on that. Like the look ahead last week was +4.5 on the Cowboys. Like they were factoring in that they were going to rest all their starters because they'd have nothing to play for. They just,
and that Washington would, right? The opposite of exactly what happened.
Yeah. And so I got a +4.5 in the account as well. So that's, that feels pretty good. But yeah, I mean, I bet it pretty straight up, but man, this one is even wackier, right? Than even the typical week because of all of the playoff stuff that we didn't know literally until 24 hours ago, not even 24 hours ago, whatever, like 18 hours ago. And so it was a difficult week, continues to be a difficult week. And, you know, I think that for us bettors, Gil, you and I say this all the time, the man, Jay Rude, sat there across and he goes, "Hey, yep. I got to put them all on the board. You guys don't got to bet them." So that's something that I'm certainly holding tried and true to this week.
I love that guy, by the way. You know, Jay, just a shout out to Jay Rude. Jay had a health scare that I did not know about, and he made it through. And so we just want to send love to Jay Rude after the fact on behalf of Matt Brown and I. All right. So you have that. Then you had, what was there? There was a teaser on there as well?
Yeah. So I took a couple of teams that I figured that there was going to be motivation before I knew how everything was going to play out. And I took the Bills down to a point, and then I also took Cincinnati down to a point. And it turns out both do still have motivating factors to play for in this one. So I feel pretty good about it. Now that we've seen this, obviously this Cincinnati line's ballooned all the way out to 10. So, you know, not only with their motivating factor, but then of course, Lamar Jackson's not going to play. Looks like maybe even there might be some there might even be like the third string quarterback there going for the Ravens. So I don't know. We'll see how that ends up playing out. But so I kind of put that one down there. That was a full kind of a full stake with, you know, in a weird week that I found two games that I felt pretty comfortable that we were going to get full efforts out of the guys. And with everything that was going on, I did play that one. How are you guys handling? I have a question for you. How are you guys handling this Texans Colts game? Because it's two teams that literally have to lose. Like, I don't know. I've never seen a scenario like this before ever. Like, I mean, this is a franchise-altering win for both of these teams. Like, I cannot even put into words. People are going to say, yeah, well, Chicago would move into one, so it doesn't really matter for Houston. But it does, because someone's going to trade Chicago for that pick. And, like, you're not going to be able or you're going to have to trade to get back up to that pick or whatever. And so if you keep the one, you have all of this time to evaluate those three quarterbacks, and whether you want Young or Stroud or Levis or whatever, you get that choice. You are not being forced to take one of the guys that gets plucked off the board. This is a fascinating game for me just from that angle.
If it were soccer, they would kick. They'd play kickball for 90 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Yeah, it's and I'm hoping Washington's the team that does make that trade with Chicago. I was saying earlier, Frank Schwab pointed this out on the Megapod yesterday. Lovey's had some experience with this. He was with the Bucks in 2014. They purposely lost that last game, and they were up 13 points. So take that for what it's worth. But I don't know, man. In Vrabel, I trust in terms of covering the spread against Jaguars. In Lovey, I trust to tank this accordingly. Although we got a tweet, I should point out, where somebody said, Lovey's going to get fired, they think, and this will be his way of sticking it to the franchise. So okay. I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe that's in there, too. I think this could be a game, Matt, to your point, where you could throw some money on some fun props of, no touchdown scored or yes on an overtime or something like that. Because who knows? Yeah. I'm with you. Both these teams, I'm staying far away from it from a side total perspective. But I don't know. Maybe some funky props like that's the way to look.
I am so inclined to lay the 2.5 with the Colts because I think Saturday.
I did.
Because I think Saturday is the guy who just is going to try to win no matter what. And the Texans have been setting this up all season so perfectly. You can't blow it here in week 18. So there is that. The only other thing I am doing this week is I'll be monitoring that Rams Seahawks game as it is playing out. And I will bet the Lions and Packers accordingly, right? Like, if it looks like the Seahawks are going to go ahead and handle business, I'll probably lay the points with the Packers. And if it looks like the Rams might upset the Seahawks, then I think it's too much with the Lions, and I'll probably take the points with the Lions in this thing. Because, listen, I understand they're pros, and they're going to go out and try to give it their all. But, Gil, I mean, this is a team with the Lions that you think that you're dead. You fight your way back into playoff contention. And then literally an hour before kickoff, you can watch those hopes just get shattered right in front of you. Like, and then you got to go out on a field an hour later and play against one of your, like, bitter rivals and stuff. Like, I just don't know how the Lions get up if the Seahawks go ahead and win that game against the Rams.
I hear you, Matt. And then there's a part of me that thinks Dan Campbell plays it out no matter what, right? Like, it's not in his team's character to lay down. So I don't know that either.
I know it is. It really is also fast. I mean, the best scenario for me would be the Rams to win. I would like to take 4.5 with the Lions. I really would. Like, I think that's a little bit too bloated at this point. I mean, if it was -3 on the Packers, I think that's probably about right. But 4.5, I think I'd like to take on the Lions if it plays out that way. But that I'll be monitoring the Seahawks game if for nothing more than to figure out how I'm going to play that Lions Packers game.
By the way, wacky bet. I took a Rams Commanders money line parlay that pays like 10-1 just because think that can happen. Right, because of the weirdness of it. So we'll see.
Hey, you remember that preseason game with Sam Howell, right? I mean, he threw for 280 yards and ran for 62 yards. I understand it's a preseason game, but like...
So you just bring up another one of my worries, that Sam Howell is going to play great, then Washington's going to be like, we got our quarterback. Oh, it's just the worst. Thank you, Matt. We'll hear you afternoon with Stormy. Final countdown. Matt Brown, everybody, right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Adam Burke joins us next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbook, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with the BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Shut up, Gil. Pro tip time.
Wait, hold on. This reminds me. This reminds me of when Jason Kahn, producer number 7, used to read the man. I said, Jason, you read the Manscaped promo.
Yeah.
And he would do it, and he would do it so dramatically, and then he would be creepy and stare at me while he was doing it. And I was like, please don't look at me.
So what does that remind you of? What's staring at you?
Yeah, I meant the dramatic part. That's what I meant. You want a pro tip?
Pro tip time.
Yeah.
Look for live betting opportunities this week in the NFL. There's a chance teams pull starters mid-game or keep them in longer than expected because of different playoff seeding possibilities and what might be going on in other games. So something we talked about a little bit earlier, I guess something to keep an eye on this week in the NFL.
Searchable at VSiN.com for pro subscribers only. 20 a day minimum. One every hour right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Adam Burke is kind enough to join us in studio. Adam, of course, writing daily for VSiN.com. What is there available now for the folks that you've written about?
Well, I've been doing a daily college basketball piece. I won't tell you how it's doing, but I've been writing one. So there's been some thoughts about college basketball, some write-ups, some stats, some things that you may want to take a look at. You know, now that we're into January, college basketball is going to come to the forefront for a lot of people, especially those that do a lot with college football. So I've been writing about that over at the site and, you know, just doing stuff with the NFL playoffs and obviously the national championship game coming up here on Monday.
Let's start with the national championship because we won't get a chance to talk to you before then. On Monday, we will have Chris Felica here on Monday talking college football national championship with us. The Natty.
The Natty.
Are you playing it? 12.5 is the number.
Well, I'm still undecided. You know, Matt Eumanns talked on the College Football Podcast, which is available now, so make sure you go check that out over at VSiN.com, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. But Matt Eumanns talked about how we may get to a point in this game where you can take Georgia on the money line, -350, -375, something like that. And I know that, generally speaking, those big minus prices are kind of cost prohibitive to a lot of people. But when I look at a game like this, Georgia could win by 21. TCU could lose by 7. I think the one thing that doesn't happen is TCU wins this game. So I think if you want to lay that Georgia money line or maybe Georgia -7 first half, something like that, I think that makes some measure of sense here. I can't see Georgia being as bad defensively in this game as they were against Ohio State. And furthermore, for TCU, great story, Cinderella story. I mean, they were as high as 1,000-1, you know, to win the national championship out there. But in that game against Michigan, 2 pick-sixes. They had the fumble at the goal line after the review that should have been a touchdown. And the fourth down stop where I don't know what Harbaugh and the offensive coaching staff was thinking. There were just a lot of things that went right for TCU to win that game, I feel like. I don't know if they get those same mistakes out of Georgia here this weekend or on Monday. So for me, I think I'm going to wait and just go ahead and lay that money line if I get something, you know, -350, -375, something like that. But I don't know. I also look at the total in this game, and, like, how do you bet an under in this game?
Yeah.
I think it's really hard to do.
Only better story than TCU getting this far, I think we all can agree, is if TJU got this far, which would have been an entirely different story, with Max Dubin as their quarterback, a joke for some. But you just feel like Georgia's a different animal than Michigan. Like, this can't happen again.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, what Michigan did to Ohio State was obviously impressive, and people are going to compare that to what the Buckeyes did to Georgia last week. That Ohio State-Michigan game, outside of the explosive plays, which Ohio State obviously gave up a ton of them to Georgia, which has been kind of their MO on defense over the last several weeks, that was a close game for the most part, but the big explosive plays were the difference. I feel like Georgia in this game here, you know, they're not going to give up the explosive plays to TCU, I don't think. Now, I will say, I think Kendre Miller's status is maybe the most important element of this handicap, because when you look at this game for TCU, Quentin Johnston had 6 of their 14 catches last week, and the other guys that caught passes only had about 62 receiving yards. So if Kendre Miller is not able to go as a big receiving threat, a big speed threat, then it's harder to stretch Georgia out.
Okay, week 18. As difficult for you as it is for all of us, I would imagine. What did you land on? Did you land on anything pre-flop?
Yeah, I landed on a couple of things. We'll be doing, you know, our Saturday betting hour that goes across all the Ohio radio stations, and they'll be very unhappy with me when I say this, but Pittsburgh under a field goal makes a ton of sense to me here this week. I mean, you know, Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season as the head coach of the Steelers.
What?
Bump the brakes!
Wait a minute.
Well, no. You guys heard that before?
Oh, I haven't heard that yet.
Well, here I am thinking I'm dropping knowledge.
Thank God you're here.
But no,
well done, Adam.
But honestly, it's one of those things to me where, like, the Browns have been really bad offensively with Deshaun Watson. Really, really bad. And the Steelers, going back to when Kenny Pickett took over as a starter, they're basically in the top 10 in EPA per play offensively. And since TJ Watt came back, which is coincidentally the same week that Kenny Pickett took over, they're about top 10 defensively in EPA per play. The Browns' defense has gotten better, but a lot of that has to do with playing awful weather games, which is what they've done throughout the second half of the year. Maybe you could say that has something to do with the offense too, but I just think the drop-off from Jacoby Brissett to Deshaun Watson has been massive, and I think Pittsburgh wins this game comfortably and does what they usually do to the Browns.
Two things. One, we totally weren't making fun of you. It's just
oh, I know.
It's our running gag.
I know. I believe it.
Ad nauseum.
I could drop another one on you.
What's that? What's that?
The Browns have not finished with a better regular season record than the Steelers since 1990. Bud Carson was the head coach.
Whoa, that is amazing.
I didn't know that one. That actually is pretty incredible. The Steelers are...
Obviously, the Browns missed 5 years where they would have gone 2-14 every year anyway. But it's 1990.
Self-defeating Cleveland Browns fan. Okay, can I just ask you about the Kenny Pickett thing for a second? I feel
sure.
Like... So, let's say Brock Purdy wins this game for the Niners. Let's say the Niners win. Brock Purdy does well. Let's say Kenny Pickett wins this game... And the Steelers go to the playoffs. Who is your offensive rookie of the year? Neither of those guys or one of those guys? And does Kenny Pickett need to get into the postseason?
I would say Kenny Pickett probably does need to get into the postseason. I would say so. I think it's just, I mean, is it fair to call it unprecedented if Brock Purdy wins this award, five games?
It is. It would be.
And maybe that speaks to kind of the crop of rookies that we've had this year,
agree.
I guess.
That's absolutely part of this, right? Because if somebody else had distinguished themselves beyond, right? If Garrett Wilson or Kenneth Walker III had done something ridiculously great. By the way, Kenneth Walker is your favorite right now at -140. Purdy +450. Kenny Pickett 18-1. But I'm just saying, people, these voters love quarterbacks, man.
They do. And the thing about Pickett is, I think people are going to hold it against him that the Steelers' defense is really good on an annual basis. And they're going to go, well, it's not Pickett. It's, you know, Najee Harris and the running game has been a lot better. The defense is really good. I don't think they'll give Kenny Pickett the credit that he deserves, which is ironic because the 49ers might have the best defense in the NFL, but people are still singing the praises of Brock Purdy. I mean, look, they probably end up giving it to Purdy just because of the circumstances and the situation. But for poor Garrett Wilson, I mean, yeah, Mike White and Zach Wilson throwing to you. And this quote from Robert Saleh, I don't know if you guys picked up on this today, saying that Joe Flacco,
yeah,
it's like a Ford pickup truck, may not appreciate him in September and October, but you really appreciate him when the weather turns nasty. So that's who Garrett Wilson has thrown to him.
Is there a Ford pickup face as well?
That's great.
Maybe. I don't know. I drive a Chevy.
Anything else this weekend?
I don't think so. I mean, the NFL is challenging. I guess one thing I did play pre-flop is Falcons Bucks under 40.5.
Oh, wow. What would it take for you to watch every play of that game? You do have
Matt Brown's net worth. But no, honestly, wow. Like I look at this game and like they say Tom Brady and the starters are going to play, but first of all, why? And second, how long could
they possibly
be out there?
Right.
And the Falcons, I mean, Desmond Ridder started 3 games. He scored 0 touchdowns. No passing, no rushing. They can't score more than 20 points a game. I don't know where the points come from in this one.
Yeah, I'm not. Man, there's too many moving parts, and you're right about all that.
At that time on Sunday, I would need at least $437. At least that.
Kelly missing a couple zeros.
Kelly doesn't require as much as you.
Yeah,
he's low maintenance. I'm a high maintenance guy.
Listen, Adam, thank you. I want to thank everybody for putting up with my voice today. I do apologize. Hopefully Monday will be far better than this. Kelly, thank you for carrying me, man.
No problem, man. You made it to the finish line.
Nice job on the promos and beyond.
I hate reading. Just period. On air, but just in general.
Kelly can be had for $437, everybody, on anything. See if we can buy some eggnog. Enjoy. Lombardi Line is next. Thank you, Adam. Right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.